discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, it's likely you have a giant in your life. It's holding you captive, intimidating you with its taunts, and stealing your joy. These giants can stake a claim and, before you know it, gain a foothold in your heart, causing us to lose sight of the promise God has for our lives. Demoralized and defeated, we settle for far less than His best. But in Pastor Louis Giglio's new book, Goliath Must Fall, Winning the Battle Against Your Giants, he uncovers a newfound twist to the classic story of David and Goliath. You are not David. And the key is not better slingshot accuracy, but keeping our eyes on the one and only Giant Slayer. The lead pastor of Passion City Church, founder of the Passion Movement, and much beloved speaker and author, joins us today on the road. Greetings to you, Pastor Louis. What an honor to have you alongside today, sir.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a real privilege to be on Faith Radio with you.
Well, introduce us to these giants first, sir. What are the things in our life that you identify with that rather imposing moniker?
Well, I think we have a whole list of giants in our lives, but we really wanted to drill down into this text, you know, what is the best-known underdog story of all time, and just see what giants are actually in the story of David and Goliath, because we can then use the principle of that you've already mentioned, that we are not David, but we have a giant slayer named Jesus in our story. So we just looked in the story, and the first one, obviously, is the giant of fear. It says, when Goliath came out, morning and night, 40 days, taunting the armies of God, they looked at him 9.5 feet tall, covered with armor from head to toe, shield bearer in front of him, undefeated warrior. They were terrified. And so the first giant we see emerge in this story is the giant of fear. And a lot of us know that giant. It has brothers and sisters and cousins named worry, anxiety, depression, dread. And these are the things that are gripping our nation. So that's one of the giants we take on in Goliath Must Fall. But we also see in this story the giant of rejection. We see the giant of addiction. We see the giant of anger. And then we see a sneaky giant in the story, and that's the giant of comfort.
You lay out right up top how important fear is, but until reading your book, I wasn't quite aware of just how central it was in the biblical narrative as well. You talk about just how important this issue of our fear is to God. You say the most repeated commandment in the Bible is to fear not. Why do you feel that it's so front and center in the biblical narrative, sir?
Well, Ryan, one of the interesting things about Goliath Must Fall is that there's a premise in the book, and the premise is this, that our freedom and God's glory are intertwined. So normally when you would start talking about giants, take the giant of addiction. We know how that can demoralize a family, can tear a family apart, can dominate the narrative, the landscape, the conversation. And so obviously when we start talking about freedom, we're like, yes, I've got to get rid of this giant. I've got to see this giant come down, because we want to live free from the power of this giant in our lives. But freedom isn't the only motivation to see our giants fall. There's a second motivation, and that is the glory of God. So it's our freedom and God's glory that are at stake whenever we have a giant in our life. So eventually this 15-year-old shepherd boy armed with a slingshot and five rocks goes out to face this giant. But why does he do it? He does it ultimately for the fame of God. He says, you come against me with a javelin and with a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of the armies of Israel that you have defied. In other words, what David was saying is, you're not going to taunt our God one more day. This is going to end, and it's going to end right now. And so for all of us, we've got to get to that place where we say, yes, I want to be free from anxiety. Yes, I want to be free from depression or worry or fear. But I don't want to just be free. I want God to get glory. And I think God knows that the human frame was not meant to carry the weight of the world. And so we're all going to have a tendency to be anxious. Jesus said that, be anxious for nothing. He said, what can you add to your life by worrying about tomorrow? Literally, he was saying by being anxious about tomorrow. And so God knows that left to ourselves, we're going to be afraid and we're going to react in fear in our lives. And he wants us to be free of that, but he ultimately wants to get glory. He wants, when we say to people, I'm a Christian, that they go, oh, that actually means something. That's not just a label. That actually means something. And what it means is you believe that God is bigger than what your fears are and bigger than whatever it is that's making you anxious. And so he knew that, and he's always known that about us. And so he gave us 365 verses in the Bible that say, fear not. So for every day of the year, there's a reminder from God, not to say don't do something, but to encourage us to lift our eyes again, to realize that, yes, there are things that are intimidating in life. This world is filled with intimidating realities right now, and they're big, and they're real, but they're not bigger than Jesus. And if we lift our eyes to him, we can find faith. Faith is the antidote to fear. It's not having more courage, it's having more faith. Faith in a God that's bigger than whatever we're afraid of.
The inspiring words of Pastor Louis Giglio, his newest book called Goliath Must Fall, Winning the Battle Against Your Giants. And sir, many of us might be tempted to think that as a famous pastor and speaker and author, you probably never had any fears to begin with, but you're quite vulnerable in the book about your own struggles with fear and anxiety. Can you give us a window into that?
Well, I can. You know, I was really caught off guard. I think sometimes we get out of touch with, you know, the reality of our life sometimes. And I must have been really out of touch with what was going on in my mind and heart and spirit. But several years back, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I talk about it more in the book and in my book, The Comeback. I won't go into it, all the details of it, but I woke up in the middle of the night thinking I was having a heart attack. It ended up over the next 24, 36 hours turning into some really bizarre physiological symptoms. Ended up in a hospital emergency room 2 o'clock in the morning. A night later, walked in the door, said to the lady at the desk, I'm 50 years old. I can't feel my arms or my face, and my legs are convulsing, and I can't make them stop.
Man.
You know, my body shut down. And some people listening along with us today know what that's about. I think they used to call it a nervous breakdown. Now we call it a anxiety attack or a panic disorder. But my body just shut down. It had been on overload for way too long. Underlying things, heart things, schedule things, physiological things. It was a perfect storm of all of that. And the result of it, Ryan, was it put me in a hole. It put me in a hole of doom is probably the best word. Depression, I think, was underlying. Anxiety, but I was out of commission for months. I didn't leave the house most days for months. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't go out to dinner with friends. I didn't feel like I could cope or even make normal everyday decisions. And it was a long, long process, which I can't give a simple answer. People are like, man, I know what you're talking about. How'd you get out of that? You get into those things over time, and you get out of them over time. It's like snapping the string in a tennis racket. If you do that, anybody that plays tennis understands immediately as soon as that string breaks, that racket isn't functioning anymore. You can hit harder, swing harder, put duct tape on it, but the reality is you're going to have to take all those strings out, not just the one in the place that it broke, and you're going to have to restring that racket completely with a whole new set of strings, and that takes time. But here I am, all these years later, mostly in my right mind. I am filled with the life and hope and light of Jesus. I'm functioning in my gifts. I'm pastoring a church. I'm on the radio crying out loud with Ryan Thomas right now, on the road with Ryan Thomas. And if you had told me 8 years ago that we'd be having this conversation today and that I would have authored 2 books by the grace of God and I would have talked about winning the battle against anxiety, I would have looked at you as if you were speaking a foreign language to me. But here I stand by the grace of God. And I know firsthand, these books are not filled with band-aids. They're not filled with one-size-fits-all. They're not filled with catchy slogans and little spiritual sayings. This is a real journey, but it's coming from somebody who actually has been down to the bottom of brokenness and weakness and desperation, called out to God, sought the help of medical professionals, did everything I knew how to do, but ultimately it was the grace of God and the spirit of worship that began to crack through that darkness and to lead me into the light again. And so I'm a survivor of a massive anxiety breakdown, and I still wrestle with it on some levels, different seasons of life, but that giant isn't the dominant story in my life anymore. And I know that all of us can be free from the giant of fear and the giant of worry and the giant of anxiety.
Goliath Must Fall, Winning the Battle Against Your Giants, the fascinating newest release from Pastor Louis Giglio. Sir, what an honor to have you with us here today. Thank you so much for your heart and for this book.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be with you. Look forward to having a chance to do it again sometime soon.
The brand new book is Goliath Must Fall, Winning the Battle Against Your Giants. And you can find it wherever fine books are sold or visit louisgiglio.com. That is spelled, by the way, louisgiglio.com. I can't help but be reminded by Louis' story about his struggle with anxiety and panic attacks that each of us, no matter our platform or our spiritual maturity, are on this road of life together. And that road brings tremendous heights and joys and deep valleys and sorrows. Take Jenny Simmons, who you quite likely remember from her time fronting the celebrated CCM band Addison Road, and who now authors great books like her newest offering, Made Well, Finding Wholeness in the Everyday Sacred Moments. After a series of tragedies in her life, losing her two beloved grandfathers, and then her twin nieces, Jenny had to learn how to heal. We go on the road with Jenny Simmons as she takes us along as she began that journey with God in a hospital room.
After my sister's daughters died and I was, you know, there for labor and delivery, and I remember sitting in that room with them and thinking, God, how do you even get up out of these kind of ashes and move forward? You know, so much of that year had been spent on people that I loved dying, that it was daunting to try to figure out what it looked like to live. And I honestly wasn't, I don't know if people ask me, well, you know, they'll say, you don't refer to a lot of anger in the books. And that's because when I look at it, I don't sit there and think, I'm so angry at God for doing this. What I see is a God who shows up in the midst of the sorrow and grieves with us, and then tries to pick us up and show us how we can move forward. And so the months following that season of loss, it looked like a lot of grief and a lot of sadness. And yet in the midst of that, really deeply intermingled were these like divine moments, some of them big, some of them teeny and tiny, inconsequential, but they were enough for me that I knew that my God cared about me, that he had not abandoned me. Mm. And that's what this journey has looked like is, you know, what does it look like? So I wanted to get to the other side of that. I wanted to be able to say to so many people that I've met over the years on the road through music, who have faced just devastating circumstances they never thought that they would walk through, and they really believed would be healed or cured, there'd be some sort of grand miracle, and they didn't see it happen. I wanted to be able to say, God is still faithful, and this is how that shows up, and this is what that looks like. And it's not always this great big flashy miracle. Sometimes it's 1,000 tiny moments of grace that give you enough to take the next step and the next step.
Well, it's such a great message. And one of the big themes, hearing you describe it that way, is that you say that sometimes we expect a miracle or anticipate one kind of miracle, and the miracles that come are surprise miracles that we never could have seen. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think we're kind of conditioned from a young age because, you know, especially as church kids, we grew up on these felt boards and we're watching the little miracles of Jesus like happen on the felt. And,
yeah.
And we read those in the Bible and we see them happen today too. This book is not about whether God is capable of doing miracles or not. God is very much in the business of miracles, but sometimes the brokenness of this world, things remain broken, and the way that God heals and the way that God restores looks a lot different, I think, than we anticipated. And so while we're like, our eyes are fixed on this, the cancer's going to go away, the divorce papers aren't going to show up,
yeah,
you know, these big, big, big things, and they end up happening, I think sometimes we miss the fact that God is actually still very much at work, redeeming, restoring, and healing. We just don't often have eyes to see it because we were looking for a different type of miracle.
We're looking inside the pages of Made Well, Finding Wholeness in the Everyday Sacred Moments. Jenny Simmons is the author. She's a sought-after musician and speaker, the former lead singer of Addison Road. And she's now written two books, and they are both just excellent. And as part of this road to wholeness that you describe in the book, and the book really is a roadmap for, I found, You share an experience from when you recently led a high school girls' retreat and a conversation you had with a young woman about how God views his children. And she utters this remarkable sentence to you in the book, and I'll just quote it. She says, "I always loved myself before I became a Christian, but now I feel like I constantly hear about all the ways I am broken, how sinful I am, and why I should be worried for myself and the world. I just wanted to thank you for not coming in here and listing all the reasons we are separated from God, but telling us that God is close and finds joy in us." What did you take away from that conversation, Jenny?
You know, it was honestly, it took me off guard when she said that. And I thought I just was grieved to hear this young, beautiful, talented, you know, like full of life teenage girl say, like, "I used to like myself until I became a Christian." Like, it cures me to utter those words. You just think, well, that is not the point of our faith. And, you know, and for me, it wasn't this, like, go pat yourself on the back. We're all perfect. We don't need any grace, any mercy, or any forgiveness for our sins. But it was this idea that maybe something that's creeping into to our conversation as a church family, church body, universally, is that we're forgetting that we are God's beloved. You know, we're forgetting that we were made and created and formed in His image. And so I remember just walking away from her thinking, we've got to get to doing a better job of reminding people that they were made well, like that we were made for wholeness. We were made for communion with Christ and to be whole. And so I walked away thinking, I wonder what we could do and how we can change this conversation to remind the body of Christ that actually God finds joy in you.
Another point on this journey of healing that really drew my attention was the story that you detail, and I've been looking forward to asking you this since you talked about the 100 songs that you had to write earlier in our chat, but you talk about your first songwriting collaboration, and it's this very memorable quote that's taped to a piano. Can you share how that day taught you about healing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was the first time I had written with a real songwriter in Nashville, and he's written so many singles in Christian music that have topped radio charts. And I was so nervous because I usually write songs at that point. You know, I was 22 years old. So at that point, when I would write a song, it would either be after a fight. I'd gotten in a fight with somebody. I'd had a really great Bible study. You know, it had to be some sort of like earth-shaking occasion that had happened, and then I would just scurry off to my journal and journal these words out. And so I didn't have any real discipline, honestly. I wrote on whim and whimsy, and that was about it. And so when I got to this building, and there were these like fluorescent lights, and nothing was happening in my life, everything was calm and normal, and there was nothing pressing that I really felt I was supposed to write about, and I didn't know this man. And I thought, this is the weirdest thing ever. How are we possibly going to write a song out of thin air? We don't know each other. There's no life drama. It just was this bizarre moment. And then taped on his piano is this quote, and it was by one of the I can't remember at the moment who it was, but it was one of the pianists that composed music, famous pianist, and it says something along the lines of, the great composer doesn't get to work because he's inspired. He shows up to work every day and hopes the inspiration strikes. Mm-hmm. And he had it taped to his piano, and I read it, and I just thought, wow. And he said, oh, you see my quote? And I said, yeah, that's brilliant. And he said, yeah, if you wait for inspiration, if you wait for the perfect recipe to arrive at your door, you might not ever write a song. He said, instead, you got to go up. You got to show up every day and work hard and hope the inspiration arrives. And so that works in songwriting, but it works in healing too, because I think a lot of times we think healing is going to happen instantly and overnight. Yeah. You know, we're going to pray like, God, fix this. I'd like, you know, make this go away, make this situation disappear. But the truth is, it's healing's like a slow dance, and it takes time, and it takes effort and energy. And the women, especially that I've met along the way, that are healing from like sexual abuse and trauma, and even sexual exploitation and trafficking, they will tell you that healing doesn't happen overnight for them. It is a day-by-day, slow process, and if they only show up and do the work of healing when they feel like it, there's a lot more days they don't feel like it. And I think anybody that's walking through a season where they're recovering from something, whether it's a head trauma or whatever it is, that's a slow process. Healing doesn't always happen overnight.
Hmm. Jenny Simmons is with us, a sought-after musician and speaker, the former lead singer of Addison Road, the author of Made Well, Finding Wholeness in the Everyday Sacred Moments, here on the road, and I'm Ryan Thomas. You have this tremendous chapter called Sacred Pauses, and you talk about how we have to find a way to intentionally unbelong to things in an age where there is just so much that we can do. You also make the memorable statement that, quote, modern society and its endless opportunities also feel more vast than I am comfortable with. It's a very countercultural notion, I found, but can you explain why that's so key?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see it most as a mom, honestly, with our kids. It's like there are all these opportunities for our children these days, and we can actually push them to the brink of not being able to accomplish anything. Because we have them so connected to everything. And I first started noticing it like in kindergarten when my daughter's friends would come over and they would be so stressed out. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're 5 and 6 years old. And it's starting younger and younger. Yeah. Where we have every opportunity at our fingertips, but just because we have every opportunity at our fingertips doesn't mean we're supposed to take every opportunity. And I think we're so concerned about maybe missing out or our kids missing out that we just try to fill it all the days, all the spots on the calendar. We want to give them every advantage, every opportunity. And in the midst of that, we're kind of running around like chickens with our heads cut off. You know, we don't know how to stop. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how to hear God's voice. And I think for me, a huge point of this book is that if healing is going to arrive at my doorstep, often in these very unexpected ways, and I have to have the space in my heart and with my eyes open, my ears open, the bandwidth to hear that, to be aware, like cultivating a holy awareness in my life. And I just can't do that if I belong to every single thing.
Those are some tremendous words to end on. At the end of the story is life. Jenny Simmons has been with us today on the road. Jenny, it's just been a real pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
A pretty remarkable woman, Jenny Simmons, reflecting on her path to healing. Her latest book is called Made Well, Finding Wholeness in the Everyday Sacred Moments. You can find it at great bookstores across the land or discover Jenny's ministry online at jennysimmons.com. And our thanks as well to Pastor Louis Giglio for joining us in the first half of the show. And thanks to you, my friend, for being part of the listening family today. Hey, let me ask you this. What if we asked God to change our hearts? What if we asked Him to change our nation? During the week of July the 9th, Christians across America will do just that. With one voice, we will worship Him and ask Him to transform our congregations, communities, and nation for His glory. We'll ask God for renewal in our own hearts and in those around us. Will you join with other Faith Radio listening friends in the Pray Together movement? You can join that effort today at myfaithradio.com, wherever you might be listening, across America or across the world, as together we lift our voices on behalf of our communities and our nation. And thanks again for being with us this week, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon, next week, same time, same place, on the road.